Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of November 30th, 2021, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Factual.
Yeah, that's right. News AF here on the last day of November of 2021. Can you believe almost another year of News AF in the books here with these two amazing guys, amazing friends are here with us today. Of course, you know this man as Pickleball's top influencer. He's on the heels of an incredible event coming up tomorrow. It's Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Whoop, whoop. Just here enjoying my solace away from all the cares of the world here on News AF. I'm very good. I'm the face of Pickleball and the voice of Pickleball.
Wow.
Is what we can say now. That's a step up from where I was.
Would that make you the head of Pickleball?
The face, the head.
Head, sure. And face, yes. And torso.
Are you the brain, yeah, of Pickleball?
No.
Okay.
Not the brain, not yet. Like, I don't, yeah, I have no control there into the cranial matters of Pickleball. But, yeah, things are going good. Tomorrow, watch party, north of Salt Lake City, Utah. Going to sit down and watch Survivor and answer any questions people have who attend. We'll be playing some pickleball before that. And it's pretty much, a perfect evening if you enjoy pickleball and Survivor.
Okay. Will there be snacks?
Yes.
Okay. Refreshments will be served.
Refreshments. There'll also be prizes. I'll also be posing for pictures, signing autographs. I'm bringing a bunch of Fila gear, Gamma gear. Everybody's going to win something except for the people who don't.
All right. Well, is there a place to go to get more information for anybody who's listening to the podcast?
Yeah, you can go to my Instagram or you can go to search The Pickler, and it's Pickler without an E in it. And you can, that's the venue. That's where everything will be. It's an indoor pickleball gymnasium.
Okay. All right. Check that out.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday night.
That's right. Wednesday night.
All right. And a man who I'm sure is planning a way to be there in person so he can meet up always with all of the fans. It's Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Recovering.
Yes. From Thanksgiving?
Turkey, from your coma, from the tryptophan in the turkey, probably.
Not just that. The minute the turkey's corpse has cooled, it's demanded that now I must turn my attention 100% to Christmas. So I found myself full of turkeys, getting the turkey cramps in my body.
Yes.
As I strung up lights the day after Thanksgiving, hundreds and hundreds of lights. I put in all this work.
Sounds incredible.
I don't put up lights, or I haven't for the last 2 years. And so I thought I'll do it this time. I'll go over the top, put up a lot of lights, climbed a tree, which made me think not a lot of people my age are climbing trees. It's not it's a young man's game.
Yeah.
To be in the trees. So climbed to the top of the tree, huge tree, put up seriously just tons of lights. I think a total of 15 hours, stepped away, plugged it all in, stepped away to the curb and realized that I had wasted my time. It was like just not enough. To really be cool, you need like thousands of lights. You pay a professional to do it. So I'm just done with lights. Maybe I'll leave these up for the next couple of years.
Why this year?
Well, because Liz went out of town and I was left with the kids, and it's easier to be at the top of a tree when you have kids to watch. Because they can't do anything.
You can see them all when you're at the top of the tree.
Great,
you can
see vantage point, so I can see them. But they can't get to me. So I was just up there. I figured it'd be a great time. Because otherwise, if I go in the house, they just follow me around. Like a pack of stray cats.
Did they help?
No, but they didn't help with the lights. They came out for 5 minutes to help and then went back inside. Which was fine with me, because I got to be by myself out there. No one wanted to be outside.
So when you're... wife leaves you with the kids, your kids are essentially going to be left alone.
Not always. I still went and did things, you know, mm-hmm. I took them out to eat. I actually had to go pick up Christmas wow. lights. So we were hanging out. We were having good times building, mm-hmm. creating those memories that are so yes. important for a child.
Definitely.
But then the majority of the time I was outside by myself. It really worked out great. Until, like I said, I stepped away and realized that to really make your house pop, you need so much more mm-hmm. in terms of Christmas lights.
And when you rolled up, or when Liz rolled up back to the house and saw the Christmas lights, was she like, this is fucking sweet? Or was she?
No,
like,
she thought it was cool.
Okay.
So, which is what I kind of what I was going for. I barely finished like 30 minutes before she showed up.
Yeah.
And so
did she think it was cool enough to be intimate with you later?
Did it earn me the points? Well, by that time I was so exhausted. I don't know if you've climbed a tree recently, Tyson, or spent 5 to 6 no. hours in a tree, but let me tell you, by the end of hanging from a tree,
is that nothing is more romantic to start the holiday season than putting the lights up?
Lights?
Is that why people do it?
I think just husbands doing chores in general.
Love making under colorful lights.
Yeah.
That has not been my experience. Window.
I for some reason envision that it helps, but
no, it doesn't, because if you spend that much time putting up lights, the last thing you want is anyone touching or talking to you.
Okay.
After, because you're winding up branches like this uh-huh. and it's so frustrating. You're getting poked in the eye. You're uh-huh. holding on. I was probably, when I started, 30 feet up in the air, you know, like hanging precariously on branches that were so weak, they were swaying side to side, trying to wrap the strands. I was all wiped out by the time she showed up. I wanted to be left alone. I didn't want anyone to talk to me.
Okay.
So Merry Christmas.
So you got in the spirit pretty quick. Speaking of lights, I'd like to point out that Rob's setup over there in his new studio, brand new studio, looks incredible. He looks like a professional news anchor over here from home working during COVID times.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, no green screen for me, baby.
It looks incredible. Is that a roll neck sweater you have over your plaid shirt?
You know what? I was out this morning. I was wearing a jacket.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked good. I thought it would look dressy, but now, you're cashing it up.
Yeah, for let me loosen my tie a little bit.
Loosen your tie, unbutton a button.
Yeah, as we get into everything. Yeah, I haven't really figured out the temperature here in the room yet. I don't really know how to plan for everything for these podcasts.
I think like a probably a 69 degrees, and that's not even.
I think it's 71.
Innuendo.
71.
71's fine. Yeah,
that's
between
nice.
69 and 72.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I have a big clock that tells me the temperature and the date.
Wow, that's fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My phone does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's rude to look at your phone during a podcast.
I know.
Yeah. So I
have. You got it. Is it right here, like in front of you on the wall?
It's like right there.
Are you looking at it right now?
12:26 here on the East Coast. Ah, 71 degrees, right. And we'll update you on the temperature here in the room throughout the podcast.
71
How
degrees.
Exciting.
That's a nice day.
Yeah, it's been very sunny here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, congratulations on all your successes, Rob. I can't believe that you spent multiple millions of dollars on a home for your family, but that mm-hmm. just shows how much you love them.
Look, that's what the market is, you know? What are you going to do?
Yeah, right? Nothing's too good for them.
Right. So, we ready to talk about what's going on in the news? Well, we do have a story to talk about the living robots reproducing. But, you know, I do want to jump in with a couple of holiday stories to follow up where Danny went. Because this Friday was, of course, Black Friday. Huge day for all of the retailers. You guys get any good deals?
The darkest day for any consumer.
I did buy. I got some deals.
Because you get the mountain of debt. Is that why?
Yeah, exactly. I don't shop on Black Friday ever.
What do you do? Cyber Monday?
I don't do that either.
Yeah.
I don't do either
of them. How do you get the deals, Tyson?
The deals aren't real. They're smoke and mirrors.
Yeah,
the deals aren't real. I actually lectured my children about the smoke and mirror deal.
Yeah.
When they were talking to me, it's about stuff being so cheap. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah. The deals happen all the way leading up to Christmas now. Mm-hmm. And there's also was deals before Christmas. And there will be deals after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sooner you can accept that, the freer you'll be the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, Tyson, I can't get a 102-inch TV for $50 if I don't wrestle someone past the door at Best Buy.
Well, maybe they used to have those, like, if you go to, like, the store at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. But I was looking for a TV since I was moving. And, I have been, like, on all of the websites looking at the TV prices from, like, November 1st through Black Friday through Cyber Monday. And I don't know. Look, maybe they made them already low on November. Nothing. No price had dropped through the entire month of November.
After the Super Bowl is the best time to buy a TV.
After the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I got a hot tip for you, Rob.
Yeah, what is it?
How picky are you about your TV viewing experience?
I mean, I'm not like the most picky person.
Are you looking for like an LG with the deepest, darkest blacks, Samsung with you, like, what are you? Because you can literally get like an 82-inch 4K HD TV for like $1,000, dude. And that's fine. Like I spent way too much money on my TV and the difference is negligible, and I am not picky enough or trained enough to see the difference. And I wish I would have just gotten a way bigger screen for less money.
Yeah.
Bigger is better. Yeah,
that is the call. But that's not what I wanted to talk about, because Black Friday, of course, a dark day for retailers, but it is also one of the busiest day of the year for another profession, plumbers.
After all that Thanksgiving feast, dude.
Yeah.
Just wreaking havoc on the digestive tract.
You were going to say doctors.
No, well, perhaps. According to this article, the Friday after Thanksgiving is known in the industry as Brown Friday.
Wow. I know that Danny always has a standing appointment with his plumber.
Has it on his Google calendar,
but he goes to his plumber's house, which is weird. I don't know what that's about,
because it's easier for me to take that post Thanksgiving dump in his house that's gonna break the toilet, because he's got all the tools there, than for me to do it at my house and inconvenience him with him coming over here. You know what I mean? He could snake it at home. He's already got it out usually by the time I get there, and like just laid out on the bathroom floor.
Is that a new business model for us, Danny? Do you think we could set up like post Thanksgiving dump holes and just like come in like at Black Friday? Let's say you go in and there's a pop-up store, and the pop-up store is just a bunch of single stall toilet rooms.
Yeah. With
extra big toilet holes in the bottom.
It's a smash room, but for going the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wreck someone else's toilet for a change.
Yeah. Yeah. So the plumbers are very busy, but it's not only to service the toilets. It turns out that actually the biggest problem is the drains. Too many people are pouring fat
everything
and grease down the drain. I see in the chat that Pete says people putting potato peelings down the sink. You know, not every sink is a garbage disposal.
Rob, I'm sorry, but when you started talking about not just the toilet, I was picturing bridesmaids, the wedding gown scene.
Yeah.
I was like, it's so bad. Everyone's got diarrhea from the disgusting turkey. That is just that people are going in the sink, and I don't know.
That's what you pictured? That's where you went?
That's where I thought he was going. I was hoping he was going that way.
That everybody just ate so much turkey Thanksgiving food that was it bad, or this is just like the natural reaction?
Yeah, it's just like a natural reaction. The human body, the modern human, isn't conditioned for yam. So it just like shoots through the system, and there's nothing you can do. No one has any muscle strong enough to hold it back when it's ready to come out. And so it's like, I seriously did just picture Bridesmaid, which is the funniest bathroom scene I've ever seen. And that's what I pictured. But now what you said makes a lot more sense. You know, the garbage disposal is not capable or should not be used for everything, right?
It's really a matter of,
is there a garbage disposal?
Yeah, is there a garbage disposal? And then grease and oil down the drain can be a problem also.
I run Grayson oil down the drain with extra hot water. Just that's my theory.
Mm-hmm. I pour it in like a can or an empty cup
and then drink it.
What do you do with it?
And then I save it later to make some lip balm.
Scrambled eggs. He scrambles his eggs with it in the morning and then uses the rest for soaps and lip balm.
And then whenever I get a moment, I just dip my finger in and get some of that bacon grease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I can't believe that someone would wash anything down the drain if there wasn't a garbage disposal in there. Is that what you're telling me? That people are just like,
guests just come to your house and it'll be let me help with that.
Yeah.
This is a garbage disposal, right? Like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what's one of the scariest things ever? Is what? Reaching your hand into the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
It's like that scene from Flash Gordon when he puts his hand into that hole. Uh-huh. You just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I unplug my
old Flash Gordon, or is there a new Flash
Gordon? No, the old Flash Gordon. It stuck with me. It's like one of the most seared into my brain.
That's a scene nobody here is ever.
It's seared.
When you said that scene in Flash Gordon, nobody's recalling back to that except
for bet you some people are. Some people must have been as scarred as myself. I don't know anything.
Is that how he became the Flash?
But he puts his hand in to do something. I don't even remember what he's trying to grab. And it stuck with me as a kid. Like, don't put your hand into dark holes you don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. And every time I put my hand in the garbage disposal, that's the image I get of Flash Gordon putting his hand into that, whatever it was.
To get his superpowers.
Yeah. No, I don't even think he's getting his superpower. He probably just dropped a candy bar and was just trying to get it out of this black hole. You just don't know what's in a hole. And you know, the garbage disposal, you know what's in there. It's not a good thing.
The plumbers also say that the fats, oil, and grease, they call it FOG, fog, also love to bind with flushable wipes.
The fatbergs.
Yeah. Big problem. Flushable wipes putting a lot of these plumbers' kids through college.
Fatbergs. You never heard of a fatberg? They have to go down and destroy them all the time. They're almost like the city's what would you call them? Sewer nightmare. They have to go down and break them apart. They're giant and they're huge too. Sometimes they go for blocks and blocks. Yeah, they're massive, and you have to go down there with pressure hoses, hot water, and some poor bastard has to go down there and blast those things into pieces. There's no way you can get paid enough.
This is the size of multiple city blocks.
I'm telling you, look them up. I might be exaggerating with multiple city blocks.
How big are the pipes?
Dude, you're asking me all sorts of questions. Look, I'm going to look it up right now, but I have read stories of fatbergs that have fatbergs in sewers. Here we go. So
maybe
they are giant. Look, there's pictures right there.
I'm not looking.
Dude, that's so gross. Can't get paid enough to go down there and blast those things to pieces.
I like to take solace in knowing that even though our icebergs are disappearing, our fatbergs are multiplying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
This one's only just the top parts stick out, Danny.
So 130 just the tip ton
of the fatberg.
And some of them in the picture I'm seeing, you can tell you would not want to drive a ship into that thing. You wouldn't be able to hose it off sufficiently to make anyone ever want to get on the ship. Yeah, well, it's 130 ton. That sounds pretty big. 130 ton fatberg. Uh-huh.
Does that smell like poop?
Dude, it smells like everything. What a nightmare.
They need you to go down there. You're because you don't have a sense of smell.
Dude, here's another story.
You
don't have
a sense of smell. You take your skis down there, ski the shit out of those fatbergs, and then destroy them.
A 330 ton fatberg.
Uh-huh.
Could you fly the helicopter down there?
And pull it out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like get a long line and pull that bad boy out? I'm telling you guys.
How hard is the fat? Like, can you scoop it and make snowballs out of it?
And look at the pictures yourself, all right? Because don't use flushable wipes, especially around Thanksgiving, because it's just the perfect storm for a fatberg in your town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that my son, when he was younger, completely like nuked the like plumbing in my old house with the flushable wipes.
Yeah.
He said nobody told him that you couldn't flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, you can't. They're not flushable. That's the thing is these people who have to go in and clean these fatbergs, they need to sue. They need to get that guy who sues for a hint of lime.
Lawsuit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the lawsuit.
And it's something that everyone would benefit from, especially these guys.
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, scooping up the Fatbergs. So let's do that. Let's get the Hint of Lime guy.
Fatberg, right ahead.
Dude, look at them. They're so gross. Mm-hmm. This one looks like it at least goes for a block.
Okay, all right.
And is it, what color is it?
Actually just looks like super dirty concrete.
And would you ski it?
Dude, it depends on how well I can get an edge.
Okay. It's probably like spring skiing. I imagine it's a little bit sloppy.
You just scrape off that top layer of fat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, now this all makes sense. Brown Friday. It's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee for plumbers and city sewer workers all over the world.
So as Danny alluded to, Thanksgiving is over. Now we turn our attention to Christmas. But this holiday season, there is some talk that there could be another Santa shortage this year. Uh-oh. Now, does Santa travel via the supply chain?
Yeah, I guess that
he's on those cars. He's in those cargo containers right now.
It's something that we take for granted. You know, he's going to be a premium and only the most privileged families will be able to afford seeing Santa this year.
Can we get some of those clowns that
get the clowns back?
Get the clowns back doing Santa work.
No way.
No, not as clowns.
Not as clowns, as Santa.
Yeah. Repurpose the clowns.
King of the clowns. Santa.
Yeah. So according to the research done over at HireSanta.com, they're saying that 15% of the Santas are missing from they need to get to pre-pandemic levels. They're down 15%.
You know what's interesting about this? And I read it somewhere else. They interview a woman who hires, or she must work a network of Santas. Like, she seems to be in charge. Okay. She said that the number of summer Santas that were hired this past year was more than double the average year.
Why?
Just the sense like we need to party hard. Since
for half Christmas or what?
Yeah, for half Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she said that a big part of it is that so many people want to get back to Santas and Santa at parties. Mm-hmm. She referenced the 80s as being like the Santa boom, right? And the Christmas party boom. And she said never since she started working in the 80s has she seen a demand for Santa quite like she's seen right now. She was booked out months in advance. And she manages Santas all over the U.S. And it just sounds like not only is there not enough, but the demand. People want Santa at their party.
Sure.
A lot of disappointed kids this upcoming month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think kids like the theory of Santa, but when you put a Santa in front of them,
they don't know the difference between him and a clown.
They're not as pleased. They're actually terrified.
Yeah. Also, the article talked about how much a Santa makes.
How much? Mm-hmm.
So in a rural area, a Santa can get
Let's guess.
Okay, yeah.
For the season, or what are we talking about?
Let's say in December, which, by the way, Santa's, and this is another interesting thing, not only work December and, you know, starting November, December, they work into early January as well. Why? But let's just say a December Santa in a rural area, how much do they cost?
How much do they cost for just an appearance for a single party?
I feel like that the movie Bad Santa is based on the premise that Santas make bank.
Per hour, $200 an hour.
$200 an hour.
So $80 an hour, rural. But Tyson, you're right. In the city, Santa can make hundreds of dollars an hour. Mm. And all of her Santas that she currently has are booked out from 9 in the morning until 9 at night.
Yeah.
Those Santas will be living like kings for the you know, the next,
like the kings of Christmas,
11 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that's incredible. Does Santa doesn't that get blow tips your mind? Also, does anybody tip Santa?
Yeah, for sure. They
probably
tip Santa.
Yeah. He does a great job.
I don't think like at the mall, Santa, maybe the mall gives him a tip or whoever's paying the paycheck there. But I don't think like as a person, like after he's, Bergen tells him what she wants for Christmas that I slip him a 20.
You slip him a 20.
I mean, you tip him in cookies.
Yeah, you do. But then, you know, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for our kid listeners here.
Oh, and let me just also say that my kids are already talking about, hey, tomorrow, December 1st, the elf is coming, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My kids are talking about that.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Going back to the Santa thing, one of the solutions they've come up with is Miss Claus. They're trying to get a lot of Miss Claus to show up. And I guess the whole spin is that she shows some stuff. Santa Claus is so busy. He can't seem to find time to get down here. He's making all the toys for you girls and boys.
And I thought,
she is good enough. She's good enough. And you know what? They should start that Mrs. Claus is making a run also.
Yeah. Like maybe she's taking over things from Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's getting old.
Why does
it
have to only be a man, Santa Claus? That yeah, Mrs.
destroy
Claus
the
is
patriarchy.
Just as capable. Yeah.
More capable, even maybe.
Mm-hmm. Probably
we
even
don't
more
know
efficient.
What her role is.
Yeah.
What if she's a dark figure in the background,
she'll
pulling
stop
all the strings?
And ask for directions if she doesn't know where she's going, unlike you know Santa.
You know what? She might be the puppet master, and she's so good at keeping that position on the down low that nobody knows, but she's back there
or
screaming
at
Santa, like, beating the elves.
Yeah, Santa's like her errand boy. Like, they should make it like she's like in the control tower, like, all right, come in, Santa. We got a house. Like, boom, boom, boom. Like, she's operations.
Yeah, and like all winter long, she's in like a Gucci one piece ski suit. You know, mm-hmm. she's got a team of elves taking down her every word.
She's a lady boss.
Santa, you think she's cowers. In a Gucci one piece? I'm thinking Bogner, dude.
Oh, Bogner. That's a way better brand. Good call, yeah. Tyson. Thanks, she's definitely in a Bogner one piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's the brains behind the operation.
And that's why she doesn't do visits to houses. And yeah, it's like smart. Uncommon. It's below her, beneath mm-hmm. her position.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
In the Santa.
Yeah.
Just don't know.
One of the other factors at play here in hiring these Santas, unfortunately, a lot of the older, more rotund Santas are also high risk COVID.
Yeah. The last thing they mm-hmm. want are gross, sticky kids sitting on their laps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, kids are so sticky and sneeze and cough right in your face.
Yeah. Santa's got to take care of themselves. What are you going to do? Yeah. Okay. We'll see, but maybe we might see a dawn of new bunch of Santas this year.
You don't think robot Santas, you don't think the Boston Dynamics dogs could be programmed to be Santas?
Reindeer, at least, certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, that would actually is a good idea. This might be a job for AI and robotics. Find us the first fat robot. You know,
here's all you got to do. You take you go to the dump. What? Say, where are all the showbiz animatronics that they threw away
back to many
years ago? And then you scoop all those out of the dump, repurpose them a little, or you could probably make an offer to Disney World at the Hall of Presidents and be like, we're going to repurpose all these presidents that you have in the Hall of Presidents to mm-hmm. be Santas.
Yeah, that's environmentally friendly.
Their faces move a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Abraham Lincoln in there.
Creep kids out.
Oh, yeah. Definitely creep kids out. Hello. As their jaw falls off and it starts sparking a little bit. And they're like, what do you want for Christmas? Yeah. Docs in the chat says you just need Taft. So if we could just get a bunch of Hall of Presidents animatronics Tafts made and sprinkle them around Taft the president.
Yeah.
And
that'll work.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good. So. There you have it. That's another genius idea by myself. I'm a thinker, not a doer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what speaking of robots, big story everywhere today about microscopic mm-hmm. organisms mm-hmm. made from frog cells, which they are classifying as artificial intelligence. These computer designed organisms have started to reproduce. They're called xenobots. And so they have been created in a laboratory, but the xenobots are reproducing on their own in a way unlike any other reproductive process known to animal or plant.
Hmm. How exciting. Here we are seeing the very beginning of our end.
Mm-hmm.
The great filter at work.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. It's a one-of-a-kind organism. It's both a living thing made of living cells and a machine that researchers can program.
Yeah. And yeah, basically they seem to be able to almost like clone themselves at will.
Oh, cool. Just like that.
That's not scary.
That's just what fine. I want. Can you imagine have that injected into you? You'd probably like end up being turned inside out.
Yes, but scientists are hopeful that this could be able to cure different diseases and regenerate cells in terms ED. Of injury or ED or aging. Yeah.
Cool, dude. Inject some automated frog cells right into your wherever.
We're need. Fine, guys. If you flick any of these little blobs onto their backs, it'll lie there like a flipped over turtle.
Mm-hmm. And they're defenseless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do get a little worried with self reproducing anything that you don't have control over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little worrisome.
It says that they consist of only two things, skin cells and heart cells from a frog. Mm-hmm. So how does that constitute being robotic at all? That sounds like it's,
see, I feel like it's a plant sends email type of a story mm-hmm. where, yeah, maybe if, you know, if you really twist the words, you could end up with robotic reproducing mm-hmm. cells, but it could be just a bunch of hoopla.
Hmm.
It's cold fusion.
Yeah, perhaps.
Cold fusion. That's right.
So are they programming the DNA of these cells?
But then that's just genetic modification.
Mm. Yeah. Look. That's what I mean. Like they make it sound in this headline as if they've developed this reproducing robot that's a yes. super small and it's almost autonomous and it's coming for you. But it almost sounds as if it's just something happening in a petri dish on a small scale and we're actually intervening very little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. According to the article, Xenobots that they are programmed to perform a range of tasks, including delivering medicine directly to any point in the body.
Hmm. I'd like to see this actually happening. Like what? Like how does it carry the medicine? Is it carrying my aspirin? You know, like, I don't know, straight to wherever it is that
it has needed? To be injected into your core. Through.
I mean, a needle will also to put the medicine exactly where it needs to go. So much I want to know. So, I mean, they gave it a terrifying name.
Xenobot.
Yeah. Doesn't that kind of sound mm-hmm. scary?
What would but you call it, Danny?
I don't know. Xenobot's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could top that.
With an X. Xenobot with an X if you're Googling anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I would like this. I mean, you're like, okay, Xenobots, carry this medicine through Danny's mouth hole to augmentate his phallus. And then it immediately like shoots on down.
Just ends blam. Up in my thumb and just my thumb gets huge. Dude, how are they receiving directions on my specific human body? They don't know where they're going.
They need a map for each body. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, how are they going to do that? Are they just going to end up in my eye and push my eyeball out? Or like one of my toes gets huge? Mm-hmm. I just don't trust them to navigate my very complex veiny body.
Yeah, but you think with all those roads, they all lead kind of to the same place, right?
They all lead to the dong. All roads lead to dong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know. Is that how the human body is constructed?
I think so.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, unless you're talking about sweat glands and other stuff too, Rob.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Look, I hope this is some kind of breakthrough that is super awesome. Mm-hmm. But one, they gave it a scary name, and two, sure. It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're horrified.
I'm near horrified. Okay. Not quite all the way there.
Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you are anti-library, correct?
Very much so.
Yeah. He hates books.
It's just a place for people to go and look up porn on a computer that isn't theirs or to seek shelter from a storm when they have no home.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah. How often does that happen?
That's not a bad thing, but it's not a place I want to be with the guys, you know, on the computers.
Yeah.
The lonely man.
Why does it have to be a guy?
Because I feel like that's a pretty good.
And do they still even have computers at libraries to use to the public? Yeah, I don't think so.
They're probably super old with those giant keys. Mm-hmm. Remember those giant keys were like half a pyramid and you smack on them. They're all stuck together.
I legit do not think that there are computers at
libraries. Of course, there's computers at libraries.
100%. Not for the public to use. For the public to use?
How else are you going to send threatening emails and troll people if not from a library computer?
Yes, yeah, like, so I went to the library the other day. I don't remember seeing computers there, but they did have a lot of like audio books. I'm like, well, how do I even access this?
I've been to the library within the last few years, and I do not remember any computers. But Donna here in the chat says her library has computers for the public to utilize. Yep. So. Donna's on your team, Danny.
The shelf life of a computer at a library is less than 3 months, and then the costs just run away. They can't afford to keep that up.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying a new library will have computers for the first 3 months?
For the first 3 months.
And until then what happens to them?
They become infected both physically and internally through just like all of the Xenobots. Things that are downloaded by the by the public.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not anti-library. If you like
your anti-computer
book, I'm just not going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what do you do for all your reading needs?
You know what? I know that a lot of people are going to be upset. I do like a physical book and I typically buy that, but I do read a lot on my iPad.
Okay.
Cool.
People are going to be mad that you read on the iPad.
Yeah. No, you know,
Stephen Fishback does not listen to this podcast, Danny.
Well, it is the worst thing to read from. I think a Kindle's better, but it's just what I have conveniently, you know, most of the time.
What's Fishback's reading mechanism of choice? A good physical book?
I think a physical book, right?
Yeah, that's the best. It's just hard to, I don't know. It's just not convenient. You got like a 10,000 books on your tiny little device.
Yeah, it's so great. I have all the works of Jack London on my Kindle. Wow. All 20,000 pages. Easy peasy.
So in Idaho, the librarians got a surprise when someone just returned an overdue book to the library that got checked out in 1911.
Was it Jerry Seinfeld?
It was not Jerry Seinfeld.
Or George Costanza? No, who was that?
It was not Tropic of Cancer or Tropic of Capricorn. The book was called New Chronicles of Rebecca. Well, I guess they're pretty old chronicles by now, am I right?
Definitely.
Published in 1907.
It was probably a super scandalous book back then, and he was too afraid to return it.
Yeah, and just now he's finally come to terms with his sexuality and how it's not
afraid. Now the filth is so prominent, this is a tame book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, finally, I can return this book
without all those computers and stuff in the library that he returns in. They're like, what? You checked this out, you perv? And he's like, look at those guys over there on the computer. They're like, okay, touche.
Look at those sallow men in the room with no lighting.
New Chronicles of Rebecca.
Are you looking it up on Amazon? I'm going to look that up.
Over 100-year-old book.
Yep.
It's probably a collector's item.
According to this, New Chronicles of Rebecca.
Oh, it showed up. Like right when I typed it in, I typed New Chronicles and it went of Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
$6.89 in paperback.
Yeah.
For ages 8 through 10.
Oh.
I think it's a kid's book. Obviously.
I mean, it sounds like it for ages 8 through 10, but is that ages 8 through 10 in 1911 when they were dealing with all sorts of things?
That was middle age.
Yeah, it was common to see someone get their arm chopped off and stuff, so totally different than now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is one of two books, it looks like. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see what its reviews. It's got a 4-star review, 3 ratings.
So,
a first print, what would a first print cost?
My gosh.
Because that's probably what we're looking at.
It's 100 pages.
So they did away with library book fees in 2019, but that might have been a mistake because if they didn't, this overdue book would have faced a $803 fine.
That's all the library needed to steal.
That's a steal for really 110 years of having the book.
So what's the name of the book again?
New Chronicles of Rebecca.
Yeah.
New.
Are you putting this into your like read list?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an interesting side note.
It's the new Chronicles of Rebecca rare bookseller used. It's going for like $170.
Dude, they were on Amazon for $5.80.
That's a new print, dude. I'm saying a first print like this probably is. If the book was written in 1907, I'm assuming it's probably a first print if it was checked out in 1911. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not worth it.
$200 book almost.
Mm-hmm.
What an investment.
I mean, if books, you think that that's where people should be putting their money, Tyson?
I mean, not now,
original prints.
Yeah. If you had an original print from back then, definitely see how much it costs
before taking it back to the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. But $200 isn't enough to steal. But it would be weird to return to the library at that point. I think it's like trying to find a way to get your Blockbuster DVDs back to them.
Yeah.
You have to go all the way to Alaska to the last store or wherever it is.
I think it's Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
Yeah. So the librarians really don't know exactly what happened. According to this article, Anne Marie Martin, who is a library assistant, said you kind of wondered what its story was and how did it end up here? Was it in somebody's box? Did somebody pass away? Did they move? You know, what happened? We'll never know. But you could imagine all types of fun stories about it.
Someone definitely passed away.
I don't know if that's a fun story.
Yeah. So it just went into their return bin.
Mm-hmm.
They have no evidence of who or when. What was the last name? Did they do the stampy thing back then? How did they constitute a checkout system? Mm-hmm.
Their records. They don't have records going back that far.
You don't even think through the Dewey Decimal System or anything?
They stamp the back of the book.
No, yeah, I'm saying the book has record, but what are the odds that they actually have physical records of who checked it out from 1910?
But they could look at the, because I think in those stampy systems, you wrote your name and then they put a stamp next to your name.
Well, I'm out of the library game. I don't really know. Wow. So
I mean, I wasn't alive in 1911.
Well, what they're going to, and then back then people had awesome signatures. They probably can't even read that. I'm telling you, it's just, they probably don't know who checked it out.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people involved with that transaction dead. Although I did read.
If the oldest person in the world lives in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
I read the story last week or 2 weeks ago about the last person from the 19th century had just died. It was this woman who was 120 something. I thought that was crazy. Could you imagine being the last person of a century?
It wasn't
her book though, by the way. Yeah. She's not part of this story.
Where was she from?
You know, I don't know, but I mean, it kind of does make sense. She dies and all of a sudden this book pops up.
Yeah, dude.
She would have been around the right age for this book.
Quite an interesting turn of events we have, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Real coincidence.
Yeah. She would have been 8 to 10 years old in 1911.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is a story that I hope Danny is paying particularly close attention to because there were dozens of people who stopped to get a drink at Britain's highest altitude pub.
It's 200 feet above sea level.
270 miles north of London is Tannhill in the Yorkshire Dales. And unfortunately, a snowstorm trapped 61 people there for 3 nights with an Oasis cover band.
Oh, what a terrible band to be stuck with.
Tyson, can you guess what the name of the Oasis cover band was?
Wonder Balls.
It's a good guess.
Is it a play on the name Oasis or a play on the name of one of their songs?
The name Oasis.
Okay. Let me Google synonyms of Oasis real quick.
You're going in the wrong direction.
Oh, dang it. I don't know. Tell me.
What band is called? Noasis.
Noasis.
I would have gone with Foasis.
Yeah, Foasis. Wow, Robin, you just came up with that.
Why Foasis?
F-A-U-X.
Oh, it's like faux fur.
Oh, yeah, fake Oasis.
Yeah, nice.
Fake in French.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Maybe really maybe the in spelling, it's like, what is that word? But it's Noasis. And yeah. The 61 people bonded for three nights, had a great time.
Sexually or what?
I don't know if there was any romantic connections that were made. But I think that Noasis played for basically Caligula. 3 days straight.
What a nightmare.
For reals?
Mm-hmm. What a nightmare. If it had been like jazz music, lots of people would have been found dead out in the snow trying to escape the endless jazz. But
you think Oasis was fine?
Alcohol and Oasis, you probably could tolerate that.
What do you think is better, an Oasis cover band or original Oasis?
Good luck getting those people back together. Those brothers hate each other. By the way, Rob, I did read that some people have refused to leave even after those 3 days.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Taken care of.
Time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 days though. I bet that place smelled so bad.
How many showers were there?
Paramedics had to put on gas masks. We're
sleeping on the floor.
Tons of sponge baths in the sink.
Sleeping on the floor of the pub.
Bar. Ugh. Oh my gosh.
Even on a bench or anywhere in a group like that, like I have to have my own room. Mm-hmm. I'd be the guy that's like, I get the manager's office by myself.
I push into town.
Yeah. But I guess for these people, I mean, Tyson, yes. I mean, I'm hoping that this doesn't happen tomorrow, but if it does for you, like the people that they came to see Noasis, they were thrilled.
Stoked. Yeah, that's
stuck
true.
With their heroes.
It's the band you chose.
Yeah. Imagine like people come out to see you and it's like, oh, sorry, there's some incident. We can't leave. We have to stay here. Everybody's gonna be like, fine.
Yeah, that would be great, actually. We'd get to play extra pickleball. There's showers there. Yeah. We could rewatch the episode of Survivor multiple times. Mm-hmm. And
these people had a ton in common. Now that you've made that point, Rob, that's probably why they were so happy to be together for 3 days.
Yeah, that's why they don't want to leave.
Yeah, that now it all makes sense. Before, I'm like, why? Yeah,
but you're right. They chose Tan Hill Inn's Facebook page. We will always remember this group of amazing people who came together and hopefully in challenging circumstances enjoyed what we think was a life-changing experience.
Wow.
For the better or worse?
Sounds better, the way that Rob phrased it. That's pretty cool. They have shared an experience that is very unique and will bond them for a short amount of time before they realize that they are all too different and go their separate ways.
This is like my nightmare. This is something that I would definitely be like, I'm going. I think I can make it.
Let's say this, Danny. It's an intimate concert with Tool and Radiohead. You can choose which one opens.
Nobody's going to pee on you on the stage.
It's just the fact
they promise not to pee.
You already pointed out sleeping there would be a nightmare.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like the music would be obnoxious after about an hour and a half. But the sleeping there, the smells, the obnoxious people. I hate going to concerts just because of all the obnoxious people. I'm sure that they were there, in high numbers. Okay. And I would honestly just be like, okay, I'm going to tape some grocery bags to my feet and push out into the storm. I can make it. Mm-hmm. I'm going for it.
Okay. So if you could choose to be trapped with Tool and Radiohead for 3 days, you would not?
No, I would not. I don't like anyone that much.
Not even your wife.
I mean, I spend every day, but at least she goes out and does stuff. I could probably chill with my wife. 3 days would be the max, though. And after 3 days, now I push out, which I'd have a better chance of dying because I've been depleted.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
I'm just assuming that endless lovemaking has depleted my...
Yeah, severe dehydration.
Sure, naturally. Yeah. All right. Well, it's not a fake Oasis band, but a woman was trying to get her ex to text her back. So she went to great lengths, according to a video she posted on TikTok, to try to get her ex to text her back. She ended up putting on a fake wedding of herself to a fake groom, all in a bid to get her ex to text her back.
Did it work? What happened?
Did he text her back?
Interested.
So she faked her own wedding and had a professional photo shoot. So the ex would reach out and he watched the story and did not reach out.
I like this guy.
No, but I mean, this seems like a foolish plan because like are they like even if he was like, oh, like, remember, I'm trying to see what her name was.
No, Samantha, don't get married.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I guess she's the one that got away. All right. Well, I guess I better delete her contact information.
It sounds like he'd have better luck faking a wedding on his end to get her attention.
Sure.
That's the problem is that she's got it all backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
this isn't going to work.
He didn't reach out.
That's so much effort to get the attention of someone who doesn't care.
So much. I mean, this is a sad story.
At the end of the day, this is a sad story. Sad for her. Even though she did have a couple moments of fake bliss, probably taking those pictures, imagining the picture she would take with him once he got back in contact with her. And then when that didn't work out, tears. Endless tears.
I mean, imagine like you're going through the whole thing. You're hiring a photographer. Like, oh, okay. Well, well, it's not a real wedding. Like, do you tell the photographer it's not real?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Do you think that she didn't even tell the fake groom that it wasn't real and she waited? And once she didn't get a response, she should have just married the fake groom?
Is he willing to accept money for those services? I mean,
that's what I know. Is it a hired actor? Is that? I think it's fine that the ex, like, why? Weird that he watched a story and maybe didn't respond with, like, congratulations.
Yeah, he should have said congratulations. Yeah, he's a bad guy for that.
You're finally free of me.
But thank you.
Yeah. But she says her ex, like, we don't know, like, did they go out for 3 years or did did they go on like one date?
Is this real also? Yeah. Good question. Is this even real or is this just an attention getting ploy on social media? I mean, the type of
person that is going to make a fake wedding to get her ex in Texas would make up a fake story to try to get our attention.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I've seen a handful of stories where I just have a hard time believing them. I saw a story about a grown woman not having anyone show up for her fancy Thanksgiving feast. And part of me just thought, now I've seen so many stories about birthdays and other things where nobody shows up. It's gotten to the point where I kind of am not believing people who do stuff like this.
Yeah.
It's almost an attempt just to get exactly what happened here and exactly what happened for that lady with no one who showed up at dinner. A big story. And a bunch of like, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for you. So no, she didn't get the attention of her ex, but she got the attention of millions of other people.
Of millions of other exes. Who are maybe
just tons of people. She's on the New York Post.
Her exes. Yeah. Not her exes per se, but like there's now enough exes in there that like one of those exes is going to be excited to, you know, reach out. Maybe.
I mean, look at this picture of her remembering the time I faked my own wedding and had a professional photo shoot. So he would reach out. Oh my gosh. I mean, it looks stupid. Doesn't look real at all. I kind of think this is just an attempt for attention. And
you think it's a setup post?
Yeah. That's kind of how he's going to feel. Like,
boy, what a sad person.
Or like, thank goodness, dude, dodged a bullet there. I don't know, but that's kind of how I'm feeling about this story and some of these other stories I've seen recently.
Okay. Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Dude, I've got so much in my bolt hole.
Oh my God.
Really? Like overflowing.
Fatberg of bolt hole.
Dude, I've got a fatberg of news.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
So good.
I really have so many stories. I was surprised. It was a very productive week out there for weird news.
I'm
wondering if I should keep some of these in reserve just in case things dry up out there.
But we are getting in the chamber.
We are getting closer to a holiday, and the crazy really comes out as the holidays get near. So when you have so much to choose from, they, you know, the choice becomes more difficult. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with something that's a little sci-fi. And you may have seen this. It was Inside the Bizarre World of TikTok's Timeline Shifters.
TikTok's Timeline Shifters.
People who claim to be able to shift timelines through concentration and showers, where they turn the water from hot to cold while imagining exactly the life they want to have. If I'm understanding this correctly, also they claim that flying in airports are also portals to different timelines.
Okay.
And that it seems like normally when you shift a timeline, you've moved yourself to a better place, like the place mm-hmm. where the ex does contact you after you stage a photo shoot. What's interesting is that sometimes when you read it, and this could be, you don't know when you read about a TikTok trend, how many people are involved, right? It could be small. This could just be a tiny, tiny trend involving less than 10 people, but they actually have people who they claim to be master manifestors and that they can manifest a new timeline, which, by the way, I couldn't understand in the reading of this article. If they talk about actually shifting, you know, like to a parallel universe and taking on the life of your you who had it better, or if it's just like a positive, like mental positivity training type of a deal, because they make it sound like they're actually transported to a different timeline mm-hmm. where everything is better. And the very opening story is about a woman who goes on a flight and she ends up going on the trip. But when she contacts her friends, mm-hmm. they all miss the flight, but she had gone on the flight with them. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, what did happen?
I don't know. Nobody knows. She claims to have shifted into a different timeline.
This is how religions start.
That's exactly that's how I felt too, Tyson. So there is a way to do this. If you guys
Did you? I think I did.
Yeah, I think I did. If you want to experience this, Tyson, mm-hmm. are you ready for me to tell you how to do this?
How do you do it?
So you get in, you get in and you feel the water washing over you, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
You wash everything off.
My eyes.
All the negative feelings. This is in the shower. You got to do this in the shower, right? Uh-huh. It's important to be naked. Okay. You can feel those good feelings.
I don't shower naked.
Okay. This might not work for you. Continue to feel all these good feelings as you wash off all the negativity. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, after you've cleansed yourself, the negativity, you can feel that water. You got a lot of positivity coursing through your body. You move the water to the coldest possible temperature.
Yep.
And it says here,
Arizona is still almost too hot.
Yeah, that'll work. And as you're really feeling your entire body head to toe with this cold water running down, take 3 to 8, you know, it depends on what kind of a timeline shifter you are. Mm-hmm. And while you're doing this, practice the law of assumption. Don't know what that is. Look it up.
When you say take 3 to 8.
Eight conscious breaths. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I didn't finish that. Sorry. Yeah.
3 to 8 conscious breaths.
Then practice the law of assumption and assume that whatever you want to have happen is what happens.
You do that, Danny.
Yeah, I know. You end up on the
news. Is that the same as the Pythagorean theorem or is that different?
No, this is different.
Okay.
And then believe that this shift is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Then this hot to cold really shifts you and somehow it matches the beliefs, the things that you want to have happen, it makes them manifest. That's how it works, Tyson. So next time you take a shower, maybe you want to be the brain, not just the body of pickleball. And you can imagine that and have a little reality shifting event.
Wow. But why wouldn't I just win the lottery?
I don't know if that's how it works.
Maybe it sounds like that until you are in.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Multiverse where you did win the lottery.
Yeah.
This is even too crazy for Gwyneth. You know, I think that she wouldn't even.
You don't think this show? You don't think this is going to show up on Goop?
I don't think it might show up on the Goop cruise, maybe, but it's not really. I think it's too far out. I think a jade egg is a physical thing that you can manhandle. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas sometimes something like this is a little bit harder sell. But who knows? Maybe this lady has tons of followers, giving her thousands of dollars. Just, you know, it's nice to know that you guys, if you're not liking where you're at, Rob or Tyson, that there are people out there teaching you how you can shift your timeline to a better one.
I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now.
Yeah, this is really for people who have a sucky life.
Yeah.
So not for you.
I'm not going to mess with the timeline.
Yeah. No. What if you shifted to a place where you're breaking up fatbergs in the London sewers? Right? How great would that be?
So great.
Mm-hmm. Probably well compensated.
Well, and that's the danger with timeline shifting is, I mean, they make it sound like you're going to go to a better timeline. But seriously, what if you go to one where you're injected with frog heart Autobots? Mm-hmm.
Xenobots, yeah.
Xenobots coursing through your body, turning your thumb into phalluses. I don't know. Yeah, who knows what's going on there? So
that's
the
surgery. That's what you want?
Rob, no, I'm saying that because it's just a mistake on the frog heart Autobot. So just be careful. If you do decide to take this up, just practice safe timeline shifting. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, just be safe about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just be safe. Also, another story, I'm just going to ask you guys.
Somebody in the chat asks, what if they're already in their best possible timeline?
Oh. Then avoid showers and positive
don't shower simultaneously. But what if they don't know that and they think that there's better, but they find that there's not?
That you're rolling the dice. Well, I think
what they're saying is that Sky Deather Fangirl, what if I'm in the best time? Can another me push me out? Like, how do you play defense?
Wow, that's right. Yeah.
That's a really good question. You know, I'll have to address.
Can I get an alarm
to one of these TikTok timeline shifters, Marianne Valenza?
Can I get a lock for the timeline?
Just be like, I feel like I'm living my best timeline possible. What if another me in a different timeline?
Touching black seas, no back seas.
Maybe they just kind of enter your body and merge with you. You know, and there's no concept of. I don't know.
Are you just
putting that out there?
I mean, if you would have said that with more conviction, you could have started a religion right there.
Mm-hmm. Gosh dang it. I need to work on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my religion's going to be, but I'm going to start a good one.
Yeah.
Just a quick question, though, as I wrap this up. There was a study finds. We haven't said study finds in this podcast, so I'm going to throw this out there. And they found out the average weight gain over the next month. And I'm just curious what you guys think.
I saw this article.
12 pounds.
I think it's 8 is the number, right?
Boom. Yeah. Rob nailed it. 8 pounds.
But he knew it.
Yeah.
How much weight do you try to gain before going on Survivor? Don't you try to gain weight?
Nah, I just have fun eating. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. So you don't maybe pay attention to it, but you also don't try to avoid it.
I think I gained like 15 pounds before I played the first time.
See, that seems smart.
Mm-hmm. But you also want to look shredded for when you're out there.
But you always look shredded at the end.
Like I thought, well, no, I don't.
If you don't make it to the end. Yeah.
But I was just like, well, like, I don't want to die.
Wait, die because you're so depleted? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, I wasn't like thinking about like, yeah, but people will thirst for my abs if I like, I'm really worried I'm going to die.
Yeah, but if you die, your family will be taken care of by CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Probably.
I mean, I actually don't think they're all. Yeah.
So, eight pounds. Eight pounds. Watch out for that. That does seem like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. I could do that in a single day.
Because you're gaining 8 pounds the worst time of year to gain 8 pounds. It's not easy to lose weight January and February.
It's the best time to add a little extra insulation if you're in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess you can cover up that weight gain since you're not supposed to be shirtless. That's
how they get you to join the gym in January.
That 8 pounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though you'd never go.
Mm-hmm. No, but they're getting you. That 8 pounds guilts you into, what is it, $12 a month to do nothing? Yeah.
The only saving grace about me moving is that I felt like that I like broke even with Thanksgiving of like went up and down the stairs 200 times.
So you're cut.
That's so good. I mean, probably the opposite of that, but I don't think I gained 8 pounds this week.
So if you gain 8 pounds, just find a timeline where you didn't gain 8 pounds. Mm-hmm.
Just
slip into that body.
You know, Danny, we got a question for you from Noah Collin, who said, since Rob talks about it on every other podcast, can we get a hot soup bar expert Danny Bryson's take on stew? That this came up on Survivor a couple of weeks ago, that they gave them stew. I talked about how stew sucks. I was very anti-stew.
It's gross.
And some people have been dragging me that there's a lot of stew defenders out there.
It's like when they serve food at prison.
Yeah.
It's like stew. Mm-hmm. What kind of stew could you think of that sounds delicious? Rabbit stew?
Chicken and beef stew with carrots and vegetables and hearty potatoes.
Stew needs a rebrand.
I have to say that the stew on Survivor did not look appetizing to me at all.
Yeah.
But if somebody was like, here's a big hearty stew and it's like I'm in the mood for it, it can be delicious.
I think they just got them on the right day. Like it was like a raw day. Like sometimes on Survivor, they're like, all right, it's 114 degrees out here.
Oh my gosh. Like, is that really how hot it was?
It's the hottest day we've ever had. Like they didn't give them stew that day.
Dude, that's kind of like probably what they do at Guantanamo is they give the prisoners stew on a hot day to get them to confess.
That's their torture.
Not that.
Yes. Anything but that.
There's no happy memory. I mean, my mom made stew, and obviously I love my mom, but it's when you think of stew, it's like I'm about to go out into the winter cold and do work, or I'm in a prison, or I'm on the frontier. It seems almost as old as turkey.
Or I just came in from a hard, cold day on the farm.
Yeah, on the farm. And I've got potato and beef stew.
Yeah, got to suckle on them turnips.
Mm-hmm. The other day I did prowl the hot soup bar, but I couldn't bring myself to dip that ladle.
Though, you're toying with it, Danny. That's like somebody who's
don't
like...
Don't tease yourself, Danny.
Somebody a week into sobriety going to a bar. Come on, Danny. You can't
do that. I didn't give in, but I did walk in the circle around it because it's a circular hot soup bar.
Yeah, no, I know what you did. Salivating, just like fully torqued.
But then I thought of all the AF listeners, I said, I'll be letting everyone down.
No, you wouldn't. We'd be so proud of you.
Go face first in this hot soup bar.
What soup were you eyeing?
So tomato basil, they didn't have it in the cold pre-made soup section. Uh-huh. And I really wanted it, so I walked around, and luckily they didn't have it. So
is that Harmon's at 8th North, or where are you?
Harmon. So luckily I didn't have to even really be tempted, you know. They didn't have my brand, so it was easier to walk away. But I did walk the entire circle and read all the little, you know, placards that say what's up. I didn't give in. I was strong.
I met one of the Harmon brothers once, one of the owners of that grocery store.
Did you ask him about the hot soup bar and their
measures? I should have. I bet he would have given you a lifetime pass. He came and introduced himself, and he had like a broken wrist or something. I was like, bro, how did you break your wrist? He's like, I was actually doing some cool like kite surfing thing off of like this snowy cliff and then into a base jump. And I was like, whoa, that sounds pretty extreme. And he's like, just kidding. I tripped on a pipe. I totally got you. I was like, yeah, I mean, you're going to just lie. I was like, I don't really get what there's a difference between a lie and a joke. And I don't know you well enough that hit as a joke. So, but he was like, so pleased with himself that he told me this lie.
He should have started with like, I was at the library pounding on that keyboard, broke my wrist.
Yeah. And I was like, you don't have to tell me anymore. Do not tell me anymore.
Actually, I tripped on a pipe. Like, oh, thank goodness. Okay. That sounds so much better.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Danny, what's coming up for you?
Putting out a video this week on Mediocre, working on gear reviews on Extra Mediocre. Everybody loves the name of these channels on YouTube.
Okay.
Extra Mediocre?
I do reviews. Gear review for outdoor gear.
Yeah.
Actually does kind of okay.
You doing a 12 Days of Christmas style thing?
Not a bad idea.
I'll charge you for it.
Yeah. Send me an invoice. So yeah, I'm always putting up videos on YouTube for hundreds of people to watch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
People pleaser.
Yeah. And Tyson, what's kind of tomorrow night is the big night.
Tomorrow night's the big night in Utah. Get on my socials to find out how to track down that link to get signed up, because you do have to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll answer all of your Survivor questions then and there. And then what else have I got? I got talking to Arissa Cox tomorrow on The Pod Has Spoken.
Oh, very nice.
About the current Survivor season.
Mm-hmm.
And Pickle Pod on Thursday. And then, man, I got a busy couple weeks. I'm going to Vegas for a celebrity pro-am poker tournament next weekend.
Wow.
Oh, you're still doing the poker thing?
Yeah, I mean, winning money is awesome. Have you never won money
before? Not playing poker.
Well, you'll enjoy it. You'd enjoy it, I think.
How did you win money, Danny?
Oh, actually, I don't have any memory of me ever winning just money. Just
being born into
born
your family.
Born into the right family definitely was a big win. The universe doesn't owe me anything else.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you're vascular, so it's like you won the lottery twice.
Vein-wise, yeah. The frog heart robot.
Except for you're eventually going to have to wear compression socks on airplanes. You understand that, right, Danny?
Yeah, because the amount of blood they could pull in those legs, it's like my heart can't keep up if no blood's up top.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah, that is scary. So, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to get you some compression tights for Christmas.
You're such a gentleman. Thank you.
Yeah. What's coming up with you, Rob?
Yeah, just trying to get settled and then just more podcasting. We'll be doing on Nothing But Netflix. Sexy Beasts came back for another season.
Did you enjoy the first season? No. Should I have watched that?
No, don't Sexy watch
Beast.
It.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was going to be funny in the fact that they were making those people go out in public dressed like that.
I don't know if they so much were out in public. Yeah.
The one with the costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so weird.
Dolphin face lady.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I looked at it. It was not my favorite thing that I've seen.
So you've seen a lot too.
Seen a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
DePete in the chat asked Danny if he showered. Did you shower into this existence, Danny, or you were born into it and need to now block
Danny's
from taking
super
over?
Dangerous to shower now. I would not.
So you're saying that to switch places with somebody in a timeline, you both have to be showering, doing that
simultaneously
at the same time. We should write a movie.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Well, great job. Once again, we'll be back next Tuesday as we are into December here on News AF. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
When and where can we catch your Sexy Beast podcast?
Oh, Nothing But Netflix can drop tonight.
Dropping tonight?
Yep.
Who's your guest or who's your co-host?
Chappelle co-hosts that show with me. And then we have Jenny Autumn joining us.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it's another week of Survivor. Do it all again.
Only a few more weeks, Rob. Mm-hmm. And then we get to kick our feet up.
3 more weeks of Survivor. And then we'll just be chillaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying the holidays and a big mug of hot cocoa.
Mm. Yeah. Danny's favorite.
Waiting for the next one to come on. That's right.
Burning my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Burning the roof of your mouth, blistering it up.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.